Hi, folks. It's the Yard Culture Show, episode 52, and welcome aboard. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, and we'll be right back with our show. It's going to be a great time. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Chick I know, with a little curve here and a little curve there. This chick, she had curves everywhere. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And oh, this chick, she had a walk, E-I-E-I-O. And how this walk would drive him wild, swinging to and fro, with a little wiggle here and a little wiggle there. Man, this chick had moves to spare. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. When she went walking into town, E-I-E-I-O. The local gentry popped their eyes. Carnation, what a show. With a gulp dang here and a gosh darn there. Heavens to Betsy, I do declare. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. There was a barn dance Saturday night, E-I-E-I-O. And the fellas came from miles around just to see her do-si-do. With a promenade here and a promenade there, at a square dance, man, this chick's no square. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. I used to be a traveling man, E-I-O. Until I hit MacDonald Place, things were mighty slow. With a little chick here and a little chick there, I didn't have a real chick anywhere. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. This farmer's daughter knocked me out, E-I-E-I-O. I asked MacDonald for her hand, and Pappy hollered go. With a little curve here and a little wiggle there, a gob dang here and a gosh darn there, a do-si-do here and a promenade there. I got my own private county fair. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-O. Donald had a farm, E-I-O. That's right, MacDonald. It's all or nothing, baby.
Hi, I'm Subi Proud. This is my song, Can't Unpave the Parking Lot, on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Bulldozed, stripped, and left it defenseless. What turning trees into white picket fences. There's gotta be more we can do. We can unpave the parking lot. Paradise can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Take better care what we got. Can't unpave the parking lot. Got home turned on the CBC. There was a victory staring back at me. Thousands of people showed up cause they care. A piece of heaven had been spared. We can pay the parking lot. Paradise can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Take better care what we got. Take better care what we got. Can't unpave the gravel on County Road 9, in the heart of the fields and fresh air.
This is Mark Reeser. You are listening to CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Mobilizing the youth of today, educating them in a better way, training so they won't go astray. Hear what me say, yeah. Give your head to clearer thinking, loyal heart, got to be persevering. Do the Lord a service, make your hands willing, your health for better living.
4-H
for community and country.
4-H
respond to food security.
4-H
I gotta make your best better. Let us get together.
Hi, and it's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. It's your host, Jeff Stager, and today we're going to play some more tunes, and we're going to talk a little bit about new recommendations for the handling of livestock, particularly pigs. And if you want to go online while we're doing our show here today, you would go over to National Farm Animal Care Council, which of course is NFACC, National Farm Animal Care Council, .ca, / codes of practice, with a hyphen between codes of practice, / pigs. And we'll talk a little bit about these new protocols, and hopefully our guest will talk a little bit about his being on that committee, and we can discuss some of the things that we're working with and so on. And in the meantime, to set that up, we'll listen to some more music. We had listened to Old McDonald's Farm by Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and then a local artist, Sue Be Proud, singing We Can't Pave Over the Parking Lot. Okay, we'll play some more tunes and we'll be right back.
Trees. The crickets are singing and the lightning bugs are floating on a breeze. Baby, get ready. Ow! Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road. nobody knows. Baby, get ready.
Hi, this is Angie Koch. You are listening to CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
All right. Burn blue on the street, loose and complete under sky. So smoky blue-green, I can't foresee a Dixie did she. So we dance the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm in? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim. Someone just to stoke the fire, picking out the highlights of
of the scenery. Saw a little cloud and looked a little like me. I had my hands in the river, my feet back up on the banks. Looked up to the Lord above and said, hey man, thanks. Sometimes I feel so good I gotta scream. She said, Gordy baby, I know exactly what you mean. She said, I swear to God, she said. Wanna swim. Swim.
This is Ruth Friendship Keller. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Bow wow, meow, meow, cluck, 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 said the little red hen. hen, let's boogie in the barnyard. Peep, peep, quack, quack, cluck, cluck, moo, moo, bow, wow, meow.
Folks, so we're back. It's the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 1.3 Sound FM. And I have my guest, Curtis Littlejohn, on the air today. And just delighted to get a hold of him. How are you doing, Curtis?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Thanks for the opportunity to be on today.
Perfect. And one of the traditions of our show was that we like to listen to the music of our guests. So if you would tell our listeners, what kind of music do you like? And when I podcast the show, I'll put that on.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of a lot of things, AC/DC, Bon Jovi, some of the new country, just about anything.
Well, that's pretty good stuff, and I'll be glad to put that into our broadcast. When I podcast it, there'll be little breaks in between. We'll play those kinds of songs. So, once again, glad to have you on here. And what came to mind was today on the news was that that group called the National Farm Animal Care Council has just announced that in partnership that they're coming out with the draft code of practice for the care and handling of pigs. So you must be excited about that. It apparently hasn't been updated since 1993.
Yeah, no, it's a exciting and a challenging moment for the swine industry in Canada. When we look at updating the code of practice, we look at doing things that are based on science rather than economics or emotion. That's the first I'll call it level that we look at, and then we look at them and we impact them by what are the economics of it and what are the emotional impacts of society and societal expectations. And as we've progressed, it's been a long journey. We've taken over 2 years to get to where we are today with this draft new code, and getting it released last Friday for the public comment period is just another milestone, another major step forward.
Well, I'm glad to hear that's been done. And this, I should mention, it's in partnership with the National... Okay, this is, I'm reading off their website, the National Farm Animal Care Council, but it's also with the pig producers, correct?
The Canadian Pork Council has participated wholeheartedly in the process.
Okay.
They've sponsored 4 producers to sit on the advisory committee, that the working group that's done all the work around this, and it's been a very enjoyable process. There's been times where, you know, we've had to have some very, very harsh discussions from both sides. We have scientists on the committee, we have engineers on the committee, we have animal welfare specialists on the committee, we have representation from the Canadian Society of Humane Societies on the committee, and the committee works by examining a key issue or a critical issue, and then reaching a consensus that the group can live with and move forward on as to how things should happen. This is a very different approach than you see happening in the United States, for example, where the HSUS, the Humane Societies of the United States, are driving an emotional type agenda.
Yeah.
And not looking at the facts or the science behind why or why not, you know, decisions should be made.
So this is is it a regular update on a regular schedule, or was it just time that people felt it was time to get discussing about animal care? It's like, you, for instance, some jurisdictions, they say every 5 years we update.
Well, we like to do, what we typically like to see is a review or an update of the code every 5 years and a complete review every 10. And I think if we look at the numbers there on the NFAC website, it's been 20 years since the code has been completely updated and moved along with where the industry is and where society is.
I think everyone probably pretty surprised at those older rules like that and how they're still enforced, that they seem dated now, I would think, wouldn't they?
Yeah, the older, they're not so much rules. This is a guideline. This is not going to be carved or written into stone. These are guidelines, basically the same as best management practices for any type of industry, whether it would be healthcare, whether it would be food, lawn and garden. If this is where you want to be and you want to employ best management practices, this is what we think you should be doing.
This would be a great document, and I think I'd encourage our listeners to have a look at this. This is what the industry is doing. And to preserve good quality, healthy food raised humanely to the best of our abilities and science. And it's available online to draft proposal, and you can add comment till, I believe it's August the 3rd, I believe.
I think that's right. There's a 60-day comment period, and I would encourage people that would not normally participate in this type of process to take the time to read the code, to... You know, when they find a section that they feel strongly about, to review the scientific work that's been done, and then provide comments and put them in your best light and what you think is best. When we move through this process and we compare ourselves to what's happening in the United States. In the United States, the Humane Society is driving an agenda that wants to see certain things happen, regardless of whether or not they are beneficial to the animals. They're based, it's based on human perception, perhaps not based on the science that suggests something different in certain cases. And it that emotional response is causing a lot of angst among the industry. It's causing a lot of angst among the food processing industry, because they're being pushed by an emotional perception of what good animal welfare should be, when in fact they don't really understand what it is they're asking of production of practices or of producers, and what the potential impacts will be to the end consumer, the retail consumer, when they go to try and purchase those products. So we've got to be very careful as we move through this process. We don't want how an animal is raised to begin to define what the price point is in the retail store, and that's where our approach is a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whoever thought that the history of the animal. Animal movement has been probably begun back in the days of Walt Disney, and when he invented that character called Porky Pig, which gave human emotions to an animal. And that was the beginning of the change in people's attitudes towards life, towards animals in general, I think. Now, before we get too far, let me get back to this document. It'd be just great, Curtis, to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. You're an Ontario producer, and you're calling Brant County or North Dumfries home these days.
We live right on the line. We're still in Brant County. When we produced, we were one of the largest producers in Brant County, and one of probably the top 100 producers in Ontario. Mm-hmm. The pork industry is an amazing industry. It's grown and prospered for a number of years. It's gone through a number of probably approaching 7 or 8 very difficult years now, but we still feel that we produce some of the best, most wholesome, most nutritious pork anywhere in the world.
Just quickly looking through some of the width and depth of what you're trying to address in this new code of practice. So there was right off the website, there's the priority welfare issues, which wasn't supposed to be, I mean, there's other issues too, but just to let people know how far you guys went, how hard you worked. The priority welfare issues were the controlling the pain of castration, methods of euthanasia, I'm assuming that's at the slaughterhouse, pig space allowance, sow housing, social management of sows, and space allowance for sows. So a lot of discussion about sows. For one reason or another, it seems like, in my opinion, the press has not been able to understand exactly what the point is behind sow crates. And I think a lot of this is close to addressing that.
Yeah, it does. It was probably the number, I will say that gestation stalls, and a gestation stall is an area where we put a pregnant sow, a sow that is in pig and waiting to farrow or give birth, and we place her in there so that we can properly manage her health, her body condition, if she needs extra food, if she needs extra attention, for whatever reason, that we can manage that very easily. And we moved to gestation stalls probably 25, maybe 30 years ago, because at that time farms were smaller. Putting 2 or 3 sows, as a friend of mine from Denmark likes to say, he's the chairman of a large meatpacking company, and as he likes to say, when you put 4 or 5 sows in a pen, the first thing they do is elect a chairman, but the way they elect is a little bit different than the way we elect. Sows are very, or pigs in general, they're very, there's a hierarchy, and they like to establish that hierarchy as to who the boss pig is and who the lowest pig on the railing is.
Yeah.
But the way they do that is through social interaction and fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that, the smaller the group, the more aggressive that tends to be. So we moved from having sows in small pens of 4, 5, 10 sows to putting them in gestation stalls, which allowed us to give better care, better look after those animals. So now today we've moved, the farms are larger, the numbers of pigs or sows per week is larger. So we're looking at moving, in the Canadian industry, we're looking at moving towards, by 2024, moving towards any new buildings being built that would have to require that gestating sows for the majority of the gestation period are held in group housing situations. What the science tells us, that after we get over about 30 or 35 pigs in a group, that pigs lose track of who's who. There's a lot less fighting, there's a lot less, I'll call it, social interaction. and they get more exercise, and there are pros and cons and benefits of both sides of it. What the committee has done is they've reviewed the science, and they've looked at it, and they've said, you know what, the science suggests that from a productivity and an economic point of view, that sows held in just in group housing is where we want to go. That sows in gestation stalls will provide us with more productivity at a lower economic cost. But then we impacted that by where society wants us to go, and society doesn't like the idea of an animal being confined for an extended period of time. Whether or not that's good for the animal, it appears to be irrelevant.
Okay.
So the Canadian industry, what we're proposing is the Canadian industry move towards group housing over the next 10 to 12 years.
Well, that sounds pretty good. And I think if you're interested, what we'll do is let's just take a short break here, stay on the line. I'll play a song, or pretend I'm going to play a song, and then we'll be right back and talk some more a bit about this great initiative. Curtis, if that's okay, can you hang in there for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's play a song here. This is by the Everett Brothers, and it's called Perfect Space. And we're right back, folks.
I want to have friends that I can trust, that love me for the man I've become, not the man that I was. And I want to have friends that let me be all alone when being alone is all that I need. Space, feel natural and safe in a volatile place. And I want to grow old without the pain, give my body back to the earth and not complain.
I wanna have friends that I that love me for the man I've become, not the man that I was.
Hi, this is Stephanie Friedis from the Volunteer Committee on the International Plowing Match. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM.
Where'd you go?
Hi, I'm back again. How you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm doing well, sir. What'd you go for a beer?
Just played a song by The Perfect Space by the Everett Brothers. I didn't know whether it would come through at your end or not, but I guess it didn't, so I'm still trying to figure out this.
Okay.
It was a great song, and I'll be glad to put the Bon Jovi and some of the elements at the beginning and ending of this podcast. So, folks, I just want to introduce our folks again. I'm talking to Curtis Littlejohn, and him and others are working on a pig code of practice. Lots to do there. This previous code of practice was put together in 1993, and I just read here in the list that it was in 2010 it was proposed to upgrade the code of practice, and now this is 2013, so it's been a couple of years, correct?
That's right. Yeah, no, it's been a long process. We had a number of issues that required a lot of discussion and a lot of consensus building and a lot of understanding positions, not only from the producer's point of view, but from the Humane Society's point of view and from the scientist's point of view, and several times sending them back and saying that what you're telling us and what we're experiencing on farm, the two don't necessarily coincide and tell us the same thing. So they had to go back and re-examine some things and look at them and make sure that you know, all of the research and everything, the literature that was reviewed, was done properly.
I just got open to run to my browser the draft proposal that they're looking for comment on, and just every heading you can imagine: housing and handling facilities, these are major headings, feed and water, animal health, husbandry practices, transportation, euthanasia, and various appendices with bits and pieces in there. So, and of course, under each of those six headings, there's at least another four or five headings. What have you forgotten? You have everything in there.
I'm sure that somebody will point out something that we've missed, but it was like when you start on these processes, it's very methodical. It is at times very boring because you're working through minute details. When we were the original draft of this code, when it was done, was I believe 165 pages long.
Yeah.
And then a group of us, a subcommittee of the code, we sat down and we condensed this, and we took out a lot of extra superfluous words and things that really didn't need to be in the code. They had to deal with economics, or they had to deal with production. They didn't have to deal with the actual well-being of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Once we had done the 50,000 foot level, we then brought it down to a 30,000 foot level, and then the committee reviewed that for four more days, you know, pretty much a week, and condensed it down to this very focused document, Jeff, that is out there for public comment today.
It must have been difficult. I know when you're in an industry, a lot of things you take for granted and you assume everyone else knows what you mean. And so outsiders are unfamiliar, and insiders don't know what it seems so. Why make things so difficult? And I'm glad to hear that you're able to put that together. It must have been a great group of people, patience and working hard to truly understand the issue amongst each other, never mind trying to put together recommendations.
For the industry, Jeff, you've hit the nail on the head. When when you're within the industry, there are acronyms or things that you do, acronyms you use, things that you do that are just so much a part of daily practice. When somebody says, well, why would you do that, or what does that mean? You look at them as if they have two heads, and you go, well, why don't you understand that? It's very simple. But when you live it on a day-to-day basis, it takes on a different meaning. It takes on, it's like our kids when they text today, and they have little, my daughter one time, like a few years back, was on the computer on Hotmail and chatting with one of her friends on MSN Messenger or whatever, and she I came up behind her and she typed in POS on the screen, and I was looking at that, and I, after the conversation, I said, what does POS mean? And she kind of hemmed and hawed, and I said, all right, out with it, what does it mean? And it means parent over shoulder. So I, being technically challenged to some degree, didn't understand that, and that's, you hit it exactly on the head. It's exactly what we have. We, so many things we do in industry that people, they may look at it, the society would look at it from a, from an outside perspective and go, my God, why would you do that?
And
but when you sit down and you explain it, it becomes very clear, and they say, that makes sense.
And you know what, Curtis, that's the, excuse me, the idea behind our show here, our show, the Agriculture Show, is for our urban listeners who really would like to get in behind some of the scare headlines and the like, and learn a bit more about a topic, to be well informed. And thanks so much yourself. You haven't used a lot of acronyms and been speaking in plain language that I think most listeners would get it. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to get out and try and, you know, help educate people as to what goes on the farm and the things that we do to ensure that they have a good quality and they have a good supply of fresh, wholesome food here in Ontario.
So you're optimistic for your industry? You're looking forward to a good year this year, I hope?
The industry, I think, this year will once again struggle. We've survived a number of things over the last 6 or 7 years. We've survived, the swine flu crisis, as it was called. We've survived, large downturns in the industry in terms of price. The last 2 years, we've been struggling with feed costs that have almost been doubled. And all of these years for the average producer have been very unprofitable. Here we are this year. I happen to be in Iowa today attending the World Pork Show. And as we drove down, we saw there's a lot of flooded fields and corn production will be impacted. Again, corn being an international commodity. So from the looks of things, prices for inputs are going to be high. The commodity price of pork is going to remain relatively low, putting farmers into another very, very tough year. And we're approaching a point, I'm sure everyone has noticed, and all of your listeners will notice, that in the stores, the cost of protein, whether it be pork or beef or chicken, has increased dramatically as those feed costs have moved through the value chain. And there's now a reluctance on the consumer's part to supplement their diet with large amounts of protein or larger amounts of protein. And we see that in the retail sales. The protein sales are cutting back. Excuse me. So, it's going to be a difficult year, I think, again, for the hog industry. And consumers, will be making choices as we move into things, whether it be, animal production practices or the organic type production or that sort of thing. And consumers make their choices based on those things. And we're hoping that with this pig code, that consumers and consumers, the people that influence the government, will insist that all product that's brought into the country meets the standards that Canadian industry and Canadians at large have said that this is how we want production to be done. Too often here in Canada, we set the bar for our own production of commodities, being pork or grain or beef or milk. We set them very high, but then we allow imports to come in at a lower price that don't necessarily meet those same standards. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the places where I think a lot of your listeners can do a lot of good. They can, they can make it known to their provincial and their federal governments that we have standards in this country and we expect every product that comes into the country to meet those standards.
Yeah, that's a whole new show. And you know what? Maybe when you're back in the country again and could find time on a Tuesday afternoon, you'd be a great guest to talk about labeling in general. It's certainly confusing.
I'm
when
more than glad to come in and have that discussion.
It's so like, what does local mean? I don't know if you watch the news, but I think it was Foodland Ontario, if I'm mistaken, are suggesting 50 kilometers is the definition of local food. But any of
let me test you on that on local food.
And it's a 100-kilometer diet. How do you do that?
Well, local peaches to people in Quebec means Ontario, which is 700 kilometers away. But
true.
That's the local supplier of a peach.
Yeah, that's and so there you go. We could have a really good time with that one. And listen, Curtis, I just want to thank you so much for taking time from your schedule. It allowed me to try something here on the soundboard, the station, with this phone box, and I think it's working okay. The dials are going fine. Maybe in the future, if I do this, I'll be able to figure out how to feed back the music in between sets so you can listen to them. And,
well, that'd be great, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on the show, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the pig code.
Okay, well, you know what, if nothing else, we'll get together and do a little follow-up on this, and we'll look forward to talking some more about it.
So thanks. Well, okay, when does this air, Jeff?
I'm going to, actually, we're live on air right now, and, you know, that's fine, it's great, because this is community radio, it's pretty, it's local, it's, you know, University of Waterloo Station, CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. And then I will podcast this show, and it'll be available online afterwards. We had a little trouble with our website right now, so I welcome you to listen to it later when I get it edited up, and you can hear the show all over again.
Well, that's great, Jeff. Thanks for the opportunity to be on today.
And thanks so much, Curtis, and we'll see you when you get back.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, folks, that's our guest, Curtis Littlejohn. He's down in Iowa at a pig congress meeting, and he's been on a committee talking about a new code of conduct for pig care. So we'll finish off our show today. It's been a lot of fun, a little shorter show, but we'll play a few more tunes and maybe some more news a little bit later on. There's a couple of upcoming events to talk about, and so thanks for listening in so far. We'll be back shortly.
Above sea level, I grab the mic because I like to take it to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation, the big sound from underground, another pirate station. We bring the truth to places truth has never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the night, attempt triangulation of our station in the fight. Straight from the base, deep down, no precision. High crime treason, we broadcast in sedition. Like the Wall Street Morning Afternoon Edition. Commandeering airwaves from unknown positions. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and supported. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it.
Michael, my dear, come say to the bottom of me.
Don't take no prisoners if you can't afford to feed none. Don't start no fights if you cannot predict the outcomes. Don't make donations where you cannot get your dough back. Fuck the apathetic bullshitters, send them all your Prozac. I will not climb into your telephone tree, and hell no, you cannot put me on hold. It's the same recorded message you've been singing all along. Keep handing us the Bible while you're walking off with all the gold. The bureaucratic office sends you merry-go-rounding, while the KKK police the streets by bloodhounding. Interest on the credit card just keeps on compounding, but the FCC can never shut this pirate sound down. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it.
If I could have some tea and to tell all the sweet windows.
Yeah.
Aïe!
bombarded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. 6 foot six above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. 6 foot six above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. 6 foot six above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. 6 foot six above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. 6 foot six above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level.
This is, or I am, John Tutt from the Princess Cinemas in Uptown Waterloo, and you are listening to The Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
And thanks for listening in today, folks. We're at the almost end of our show, a few more songs. Take a moment here to bring along some news of an upcoming event. This is on June 22nd, and it's out at the Heritage Hill Farms up by New Dundee. And this is called Breakfast on the Farm. And it's a chance to go to a live farm, a real farm. And if you were to, it's a free event. If you want to find some more information, you would go to www.farmfoodcare.org. And there you could, the Eventbrite website would take reservations, so they have an idea how many people to prepare for. And so if you are a listener, you've always wanted to visit a farm. June 22nd is the day, out by New Dundee. Location and event is actually from 9 to 1 p.m. And the location is Waterloo Oxford Road. New Dundee, Ontario, municipal address 967192, but I think you probably just as well have to go to the website, www.farmfoodcare.org, and check in there. So we'll play best more music, and we'll wind out our show today for this. This is already June the 4th of 2013, and thanks for listening in, and we'll see you next week.